This is your host, Dr. Carletta D. Washington. Education for All radio show's goal is to focus on parenting and education topics in order to help you to build stronger family relationships, understand the education system, and prepare your children for academic success. Special thanks to our corporate sponsor, founding CEO, TV personality, and recording artist, Mr. Willie Moore Jr. of Will Flow Music and the Young Fly and Save Movement. Please visit his website at www.williemoorejr.org, W-I-L-L-I-E-M-O-O-R-E-J-R.org. To promote a product or service for parents and families or become a sponsor, please contact me, Carletta, at educationforallinc.com. Also, for resources, programs, scholarship links, and our Involved Parent magazine, please be sure to visit our website, www.educationforallinc.com. Today's topic focuses on a mother's reflection. There is a revised edition of this book that I had written some time ago, and it is called A Mother's Reflection, Protecting Your Children from Harmful Influences, Handbook and Journal. So what I wanted to do today, because we have Mother's Day coming up in May, just a few short weeks away, it's never too early to think about what you're going to give mom or grandma or your spiritual mother or, the mothers, just the different mothers in your life. It's never too early to start thinking about what you're going to get them and how you want to share Mother's Day. Plus, being a mom myself, I know many of us, we don't let people forget that Mother's Day is coming up, and we drop some heavy hints as to what we would like and what we want to do for Mother's Day quite often. So as you prepare for Mother's Day and so it is fresh on your mind, we want to focus on that today. So I'll go a little bit from my book, A Mother's Reflection, talking about some of the things to be weary of as a parent in general and based on my perspective as a mother. And then also along the way, I'm encouraging everyone who's listening to call in, dial 646-595-4481, or if you are on the lines by already having dialed in, feel free to press 1 at any time so that I can bring you into the conversation. Today, I'd like for you to be able to pay tribute to any of the moms who are in your lives. Also, you can recall favorite Mother's Day moments or moments with your mom. You can also just feel free to give parenting tips if you are a mom. So any of those are welcome today. So again, today we're focusing on moms. I know it's early for Mother's Day, but it's never too early to begin thinking about what you want to get your special mom. And also paying tribute to mothers, so feel free to press 1 at any time to share your parenting tip, to pay tribute, or to talk about your favorite Mother's Day or Mommy and Me moment. So with A Mother's Reflection, the book was written in 2010, and then I did a slightly revised version in 2014. And what I found the reason why I wrote the book is because as a parent, we were going through difficult teenage years with our daughter. And as a former teacher, many of my parents, they were often going through those moments, because when I was teaching, I taught mostly middle and high school students. So, and my daughter was usually younger than them for most of my teaching career. She was always younger than the students that I taught. So I often heard parents discussing some of the issues of around dating or their children, not really listening to them like they did when they were younger and so forth. And so I always had a solution, you know, or whether it was, well, be firmer, be tough, you know, pray about it, put them out, you know, whatever you need to do to help your child to understand that you are the adult, you're the parent, and you're serious, you know, still love them, but definitely implement that tough love. And so myself as a tough love parent, you know, easy advice to give. And then once you go through the situation yourself, that's really where the test comes in. Can you apply that same advice to your own life that you're giving others? So thank God I could. So the things that I had mentioned to my parents, I found myself relying or falling back on myself in our situation. And, you know, God has been very good. My daughter and I are now very close. It's as if nothing ever happened and like we never missed any years in between. And our time apart was relatively short in comparison to what some parents may go through with their children. So I'm very blessed and very proud to say that I am. And I'm very excited for other parents who are as well, who may have gone through, you know, some of those same things. And what I encourage moms to and dads as well to remember is to think about when you were growing up. You know, we all have had, or most of us have had we've had times of rebellion against our parents, or just defiance, things that we wanted to do and we were stubborn, you know, and sometimes we're just like our parents, you know, they were stubborn and the apple didn't fall far from the tree, you know. So think about things that you did as a parent. I mean, if you're a parent, think about things that you did as a child and how your relationship was with your parents. And that can be something that can help you as a parent with your own children. You can, like, for instance, I knew I had temper tantrums. And then I knew my daughter could, there's a possibility she could have them, and she did. And so I know those were not a good time for my mom and dad to deal with. And so I know I didn't want to go through the same thing. So I looked at what I could do that could help eliminate or at least minimize, you know, the temper tantrums. And then I see my daughter and her husband doing the same with their daughter. And so it's really nice how you can look at different generations and you can see things getting better. So I honestly feel like whatever you focus on in your family, then you can see that difference. You know, you can see what the priority becomes in terms of how each generation is handling certain things. And it's not saying that the one prior or the one after may not be doing all that they can. I believe every generation is doing the best they can with what they have available and also based upon their experiences. But, you know, I encourage parents to look at things from a generational standpoint. You know, if there is a history of violence, if there's a history of drugs or sexual abuse or a history of failing grades and low academics, a history of athletics, a history of college graduates, you know, so there are things, if you trace back a couple of generations, then you can kind of, you know, get an understanding for where your family needs to go in the future and how to guide them in the future to either stay on that positive path and continue to excel, or how to switch gears so that they are not doing the same things that are not so positive that have been happening for generations, you know, in the family. So with A Mother's Reflection, the book focuses basically on how parents can deal with certain situations in their life or during their child rearing with their children. And one thing I comment on is that basically, you know, sometimes as parents we feel like our kids' peers are our nemesis or the thorn in our side, but quite honestly, it's the adults. You know, as long as their friends are their age, you know, they're all minors, they're not on their own, and they don't have super permissive parents, then you don't really have anything to worry about. But once your child latches on to extremely permissive adults or extremely permissive parents, you know, that their friends may have, then there is the issue, because now you have an adult who appears very contrary to you and what your value system is, and so they look actually more popular and more appealing to your child than you do, because you have structure, you have a strong support system, you have rules and expectations, and rewards are based on different certain criteria, versus this other adult who has a very permissive, free-flowing, experimental, you know, trial-and-error, carefree parenting style. So when your child becomes involved with those types of adults, that's where the situation can become rather sticky and hectic, and it can be often difficult for you to regain your relationship or maintain your relationship with your child. So I encourage parents that if it's just the media, if it's just the peers, you can often combat that by really staying persistent and focused, you know, on the love that you're giving your child, and using some logic and reason and sharing some personal experiences and taking your child to get assistance from different resources, whether it's counselors or their own doctor and so forth, and surrounding them with other like-minded adults. But if there are other adults who are involved, again, that are contrary to the value system that you're establishing with your child, then you need to take a far more aggressive approach, because there's that possibility that your child might leave your home. And as long as your child is in your home, you still have hope, because the child sees that they do need you for something, you know, if only for food and shelter and a place to lay their head. But if the child sees that they can get that elsewhere, then your child will go elsewhere. So you really want to look at other people, other adults rather, and how they're interacting with your child. You want to look at, are these other adults supportive of you? You know, every parent won't agree. You know, some parents believe in spanking their kids. Some believe in punishing through time out or taking away rewards and so forth. I mean, if it's effective, it's effective. But, you know, when we're looking at different types of parenting styles, we have to be careful as parents not to criticize other parents or call it abuse, you know, when there's no abuse there. We can tell abuse. I mean, you can abuse a kid without even hitting them. There's emotional abuse. There's isolation, you know, our kids being kept in their room 24/7, you know, for months on end as if they're in solitary. So for a parent to spank their child, you know, once or twice or every once in a while, and especially there are no marks, you know, we have to be careful, you know, what we're terming as abuse. And when we see in particular those who may spank their children as being targeted versus those who might do the timeout, because sometimes timeout and solitary for some kids, depending upon their personality type, that can be cause them to become even more introverted. And in others, it can cause them to become more extroverted in terms of being angry and wanting to lash out because they have all this pent-up emotion in them that they can't really express. So, you know, we just need to look at the situation as a whole. You know, if there is no abuse, we should not be, as adults and other parents, trying to undermine each other's authority. We need to make sure that we're supporting each other, so that the children can get the most benefit. You know, we all want to raise our kids the best we can and to be happy, healthy, productive adults, spiritual as well, you know, make the right decisions. And so the path that we take to get there may be a little different in some cases. But again, you know, if there's no abuse, we need to really support each other. Also, if we have concerns, one thing I suggest is that we talk to parents. We talk adult to adult. Never talk in front of the children, because you don't want children to know, well, one, to be an adult business, but then also, two, you don't want the children to see, oh, wow, you know, there's a weak spot, you know, or so-and-so agrees with me. You know, now I can go over and talk to and talk to them. I don't have to talk to my mom or my dad. And I often have said, well, I've said a couple times on the show and in different speaking or engagements that I used to tell my aunt, one of my aunts, my Aunt Maxine, quite a bit, because I knew she would tell my mom. You know, and I told her because I knew she would tell her, you know, and I wanted her to tell her because maybe I didn't have the courage to tell her. I didn't feel like I could say it, but at least my mom knew it, so then that way she could address it, you know, whatever the situation might have been. But I didn't tell my aunt, feeling like, oh, she's going to keep this a secret, you know, and then nobody else will know. You know, I always knew if I told my aunt, it would get back to my mom. And that's what I appreciated about her relationship with my mom, is that she never overstepped her bounds, you know, as an aunt, as a family member, as another adult, as my mom's sister. You know, she respected my mom's position as my mother. So, you know, those are the kind of individuals that you really want to make sure are in your children's lives, you know, people who will support you, so that even if your child talks to them, you know that adult is going to come back to you as their parent to help mediate the situation, or to help, you know, and they're going to be objective and neutral, you know, or they are going to somehow just be a support, you know, not wanting to usurp your authority or undermine your authority. And the reason, again, why paying attention to the adults is important is because, remember, the adults can give the children pretty much the same as you. They can do the basics. It may not necessarily be on the same level, but they could still provide them with internet access. They could provide them with television, with food, with shelter, somewhere to lay their head. So, you know, when the kids look at, well, I have rules here and I don't have any over there, you know, we all are looking at that, let me teeter over to the other side, you know, because there's not much going on and the grass is probably greener. And, you know, versus with their peers, again, as long as the peers don't have permissive parents and they're, you know, they're minors as well, the child just can't stay with that peer. The peer can't buy them clothes, you know, can't feed them, can't take care of them. So that really limits their options. And you look like a very good option, even though your child might not be happy in the process. But, you know, this issue with teenage parents, with parents and their teenagers or early adolescents with defiance and so forth, is nothing new. Unfortunately, again, having been in education most of my teaching career, I heard my parents talking about this, and it hit all income levels, whether they were working class or they were affluent or they were, lower on the economic chain. You know, all parents somehow expressed some sort of concerns with their teenagers and early adolescent children. And so this is pretty epidemic, you know, and it's not going away. To make sure we talk about the issue and that we put it forth, I think, is really what the key is. Because once we started talking about our situation with our daughter, other parents started talking about it. And I'm looking and saying, oh, I didn't know they went through that. Or I didn't know they were going through that, you know. And then I had other people come to us and say, oh, we wouldn't know that you all were facing all of that, you know. And you don't go around wearing a medal, you know, in situations like this in which your chest stuck out, that's for sure, because it is embarrassing. It's disheartening, disappointing, very hard and difficult time. But, you know, when you find support, which is what I'll talk about next week in part two, how to garner that support from people that you know, and particularly your spouse, you know, and joining together as parents to help cope and get through this. You know, we'll discuss that in more detail. But again, you know, today I just want to make sure that we're working to help parents. You know, there's enough that's tearing families apart without us doing it as well. So if you want to pay tribute to your moms or the moms in your life, press 1. If you want to give a great parenting tip or talk about a favorite Mother's Day moment or Mommy and Me moment, feel free to press 1 at any time, and I can bring you to the conversation. Or if there's something, if you've read the book, A Mother's Reflection, and you have a comment or a question, or if there's anything that I may have discussed at this point that you'd like to share a comment or question, please feel free to press 1 at this time. And so in A Mother's Reflection, we also talk about just the family makeup of, you know, making sure that, well, as a blended family, because we were a blended family, you know, and that's unfortunate, it's common, you know, but you want to make sure that you're putting safeguards in place. So here's a caller.
Hello.
Hi, caller. Welcome to the line. You have a question or a comment?
Oh, yes. How you doing, Dr. Washer? I just want to say I love my mom. I'm doing fine.
Oh.
I just want to say I love my mom. I have the best mom in the whole world.
And, oh, wow.
Well, yeah, your mom has sacrificed so much for me and for my sister, too. You know, my
mm-hmm.
sister, you know, doing so much. I really appreciate my mom. And usually on Mother's Day, we do something really special for her. And there's a
That's
friend of mine.
I was going to ask, are you able to share what you plan to do, or you have to keep that top secret?
Oh, I have to keep that top secret.
Okay.
Okay. It's locked up in a vault. I want to say a great friend of mine's, this is a little tradition that we always do. A great friend of mine always calls, always wants to be the first one to call to wish my mom a happy Mother's Day.
Oh, wow.
So every
year, are you going to be your friend this year? Or
he's beating me a couple of times. He'll call
oh,
me
you
right
have.
Now. He's actually, it's a conversation between my sister, you know, myself, and he'll call.
Uh-huh.
So we want to be the first one to wish, you know, mom a happy Mother's Day. So we always make sure we're up for the challenge. And I'm pretty sure it's going to happen this year, too.
Oh, wow.
But like I said, Carla, it does take a village. And I just want to say now,
yes,
I don't have any
does.
Children. But when you see a parent, I would say, let's see, maybe curse a child out or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is it my place to say something? Sometimes
I've had people ask that, and it depends on the situation. And, you know, sometimes just addressing the parent politely to, you know, getting them off guard. You know what? I really like that top you have on, you know, and seeing if you can do things that help get the parent to calm down. Or if you're in the same grocery line, telling them, you know, you can go first. Because I really don't have anywhere to go. You might have somewhere to go, but then you kind of think, you know, the parent is frustrated with, because unfortunately situations tend to heighten, you know, some of the concerns that parents have, and they don't mean to go that far, and some don't realize that they're as angry as they are. And so just sometimes helping the parent, distracting the parent, you know, so and refocusing them on something else. You know, kind of helps.
Okay, like yeah, maybe some kind of diversion. Because a couple of times,
right?
You know, mothers, you know, tell the kid, you know, the kid might ask a question, and the mother says, you know, shut up. You know, but the kids
mm-hmm.
are naturally curious, so they go ahead.
Right, or if they're bored, then you know they're going to get in trouble and do something, especially if they're young. But all parents aren't as proactive, you know, often as they need to be. And so really redirecting that parent, you know, and I've done that, and Sometimes I say a quick prayer, you know, and then things just kind of cease, or I redirect the parent, you know, by all of a sudden giving them a compliment and letting them know, I love the way your child is dressed, you know, just something out the blue, and it really has made a difference.
Well, a lot of times it's like the elephant in the room, you know, you kind of, you know what's going on, but you don't want to,
right,
you know.
Yeah, you don't want to say anything, yeah.
Yeah, but
and
that's
elephant, a good, I mean, because if it's an honest, I mean, if it's not abuse, and typically, you know, parents, they can be thrown off for a second and compose themselves, you know, or if you say, well, you know, I can help you with this, you know, let me get that or whatever, or just in their car, you know, I bought that same cereal. You know,
okay,
stuff
okay,
like that, you know,
okay,
throw them off, you know, and things like that.
Yeah, maybe a little water on the fire or something, you know, kind of put that fire out. Because a lot of times you feel kind of awkward, and, you know, it's happening right in front of you. It's like I said, the elephant's in the room, and you really don't want to, you know, I mean, do you know if it's your place to say anything?
It depends on just to what degree do you feel convicted to say something and how do you want to approach the situation. But definitely approaching it with some tact and with the aim of distracting the parent so that way they're not focused on that situation, you know.
Okay.
But let me go to this next caller before we go. We have about 3 minutes.
Nice,
so thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you.
Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. You have a question or a comment? Hello?
Hi.
Hello? Hi, you have a question or a comment? Okay, I heard a kid in the background, so I'm going to say that little one said Happy Mother's Day early to their mom. With, again, a mother's reflection, it focuses on so many things. We do, as the caller said, we need to have a village raising our children, but everybody does not need to be in that village. So please watch the adults in particular who are around your children, regardless of their position in society and regardless of their position in your family as well, because some of the problems you run into are in your own family. And also be mindful of the neighborhood, be mindful of media, your children's friends, particularly if their friends are older than they are, you know, that, or if your child hangs around much younger children, that can also be a concern and red flag. So all of those things are recommendations for what to look for. And if you have not already read A Mother's Question, please visit the website at www.educationforallinc.com to purchase your copy through Amazon.com. So special thanks again to our corporate sponsor, Mr. Willie Moore Jr., and we look forward to you joining us again next week when we again pay tribute to moms in our lives or share our favorite Mother's Day or Mommy and Me moment. And then also we will go into talking about support system and how to find support as parents when you are going through these difficult times with your family, particularly your children. And I pray favor on parents and guardians everywhere as you prepare your children for academic success this week. So again, join us next week. We will see you same time, 6 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. Thank you for calling in and follow us on Facebook at Education for All Inc. STL. On Twitter at Ed4AllInc.STL. Thank you and have a blessed rest of the week. And be sure to visit our website and purchase your copy of A Mother's Reflection today.
Never really mattered so much to me.
Never really mattered to me.
It's nothing like a woman.